Dear congregation, count your blessings. Count them one by one. And we do. We just sung about it. And we're happy and we're thankful for all the things we have and enjoy. And probably we have a lot more than we'll ever really need. And what a list it would be if we actually started counting. You know, we could start with a big one, like our country, the country we get to live in. This part of West Michigan, we all know is the better part of Michigan to live in. And then Lake Michigan. And the overall farm yield this year was good again. And we can get an education, and we have jobs, and we have income. And some people are saying, hey, I'm closer to retirement. I'm liking that. And then we have our homes, and our homes have electricity and heat and air conditioning and 2- and 3-stall garages. And I didn't even mention running water and bathrooms. And then our families, money to enjoy sports, leisure, vacations. This time of year, shouldn't forget the hunting season. New clothes, new gadgets. Health, medical care, freedom to gather, to worship the Lord. We get to do community participation in different things like Wyoming Network, Alpha Center, Words of Hope. And then the abundance. Thanksgiving Day dinner, turkey. Speaking of turkeys, when is turkey soup bad for your health? If you're the turkey. I know, they're not good, but what's the difference between a chicken and a turkey? Chickens celebrate Thanksgiving. One more. What were the turkeys thankful for on Thanksgiving? Vegetarians. Anyway, Thanksgiving Day dinner. Turkey, ham, stuffing, pies, sitting around the table. And you're like, oh, I just couldn't eat another bite. And then somebody says, you know, half the world is starving. They go to bed hungry at night. And you agree, and a little guilt seeps in. And as you ask for just a sliver of pie with a little bit of ice cream. We have so much food, and we have such an abundance. And really, as we gather around the Thanksgiving table, it's symbolic of all that we have. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Do you know if we actually did that, we wouldn't get out of here till Christmas, if by then. But what if we did that? So then we've listed them. Now what? What do we do of all those blessings? Do we store them? Do we become hoarders? Do we use them just for our own benefit and pleasure? Or do we have a sense of entitlement? It's like, you know, I've worked pretty hard. I've kind of earned this. This is mine. Or do we even want more? You know, we always want more. I just read this afternoon. According to a survey by Empower, Americans that they interviewed said, they would overall need a 50% raise to really be happy. A 50% raise to be happy. Now, I know there's a few people that feel guilty with all that they have, and they start giving it away. But that usually doesn't happen until they're in the last stages of life. But I think if we go back to the song, the next line is really helpful. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, and then this. See what God hath done. See what God hath done. That changes everything. It redirects our thinking. See, you've heard this line before. Thanksgiving Day is a really hard day for the atheists because they don't know who to thank. But think about that for just a minute. If you didn't know who to thank, or you didn't feel that you wanted to express appreciation or thanksgiving to anyone, how hollow would that be? How empty would that be? But when we see God's hand in all of it, it gives us perspective. It equips us in how to deal with our blessings and to give our thanks to a good, wise, gracious, and generous God. You know, our God loves us, and he loves us a lot, and he gives us lots of nice things. He really does. Lots of benefits for us to appreciate. And remember, he owns it. He owns everything. But he delights in us using it. He delights in us enjoying all the blessings he pours out on us. And yes, he also calls us to be responsible. Luke 12:48 puts it this way. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. To whom has much been entrusted, much will be asked. So yeah, there's a responsibility that comes with having an abundance. So, therefore, to be able to enjoy all the blessings and the gifts we have and not feel guilty, there's really two things we need to remember. The first one, God is our giver. God is the provider of everything we have. That's as basic as each breath you take, each breath I take. If God withheld his breath for one moment, this whole world would collapse. So just when we breathe, that's already a gift. And then the second one is that the blessings are ours to use and enjoy, not to hoard, not to funnel into all kinds of self-seeking purposes under the rationalization that I deserve it, I'm entitled, and ultimately to be a blessing to others. Don't you hate that? It's never about us. It's always about others. So what do we do with all we have? Says a lot about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. First as a provider, and then in trusting him. You know, as I was working on this, I thought, boy, this almost sounds like Stewardship Sunday. And then I realized that stewardship and thanksgiving are really two sides of the same coin. Stewardship and thanksgiving, they come right together. Now, just saying we're thankful is easy. It's kind of like saying I love you to somebody, but really not meaning it. We can also easily say thanks. But if we just see it or say it, that has no real significance. That is no real benefit. But when we acknowledge God as the provider, as the owner, everything changes. And it brings us back to being good stewards of what has been given to us. So what are we going to do with all that we have? You know, there's no use hoarding it. At the end, you either got to sort through it all or somebody else will go through your stuff. But nobody's going to take it with them. And as stewards, you know that the meaning of the steward is that we don't own it. We're allowed to manage it, but it's not ours. We don't own it. So, question. How does the true owner want me to manage what he has entrusted to me? What does he want me to do with it? And so, I don't think this is a typical Thanksgiving Day passage, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's page 1652 in your pew Bible. Page 1652, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll start reading at verse 6 through the end of the chapter. Hear the word of God. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. This passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is very instructional. Where it starts in verse 6, God tells us, sow generously, so we can reap generously. You know the old adage, and you can't get away from it, we reap what we sow. So God says, be extravagant. Be extravagant in how you sow. Let me ask you, have you ever given anything for the kingdom of God that later you regretted? That you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I could have used that better somewhere else. Or given something away, like in kind, and later you're like, oh, I wished I wouldn't have given that away. I really missed that. I should have hung on to it. See, God instructs us to sow in abundant ways, and that also then gives us an attitude of trust. Trust in the provider. And this approach is also a wonderful remedy. If you carry any guilt for your abundance, if you're like, oh man, I'm doing so well, I feel guilty, this is a great remedy in dealing with that. It replaces our guilt with the ability to enjoy our gifts and then share them with others. Remember Jesus' words? It's better to give than to receive. It takes a while in life to learn that as a truth, but it's really true. It's better to give than to receive. When we share what we have, God asks us to do that out of gratitude, never grudgingly. If you're ever, even when the offering is being received, if you're ever doing it grudgingly, oh, put it back in your pocket. Because God is like, I don't need it that bad. I just soon you keep it then. There was a time, this is a little sidebar, but there was a time I didn't put much in the offering because I really didn't trust God with my money. And then I found out he didn't trust me with his, and he had a whole lot more than I did. But it's a trust thing. It really is. Do we trust God and see him as the provider, or deep down do I think, nah, I've kind of made this happen. I've made some good deals. I've pulled it together. I did the smart thing. Just something to think about. When we share what we have, it also gives us joy in our hearts. And you know, in life, we pray for and thank God for the blessings. And so we pray for health and we pray for safety, protection for our loved ones, all of that stuff. But I wonder, how often do we pray, Lord, direct my heart when it comes to managing all the blessings that you have given me? I've got so much, Lord, I'm not exactly sure how to manage all of this. Would you go before me and direct me what to do with it? And then I was, again, as I was working on this, I thought, boy, in seeking God's input, one of the most dangerous areas might be our time. God, how do you want me to use my time? And that's really dangerous for retired people to pray about. Because how often do you hear retired people say, I paid my dues, put my time in. This is about me. This is for me. Do we dare to pray, Lord, you're the one that's still giving me my time. I want to give it back to you. And you use it any way you see fit. Do we pray that he will remind us that it's all his, that it's all his, and then invite him, use it in any way you want, and touch my heart to be obedient. How we manage this really says a lot about our trust in God, but I also believe it can reduce a lot of our anxiety and worry in our lives. See, there's a big difference between thinking I got to pull it all together myself versus I just really have a benevolent, loving Heavenly Father who has promised, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I am a provider God. He already promised Abram that, and that's been true all through the centuries. So 2 Corinthians 9 reminds us that giving is a privilege and it's an opportunity. And to experience and engage the joy of giving will remove the power of things. You've heard the saying, right? Everything I own owns me. And it's real freeing to have things release the power over your life. And maybe one of the most harsh taskmasters is money. When the green goddess controls our lives, we have no freedom. We have no freedom. And to get that freedom that only God can give us, we got to relinquish at trying to control and to manipulate everything. And things should always be our servants. Now, getting back to 2 Corinthians, verse 8 speaks to this directly and reminds us that it is God who we thank. Here's the words in the text. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Okay? Others can't bless you abundantly. They can celebrate with you. They can enjoy it with you. But God can bless you abundantly so that in all things, talk about comprehensive stuff, in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. So that makes it really clear. God is the provider. We thank Him. We thank Him for our good and for His glory. And then we go to verse 11, and verse 11 puts it this way. You'll be enriched in every way. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. Generosity on our part fuels thanksgiving to God in our hearts. There's a direct connection between those two. And God's desire is to bless us abundantly so we can thank Him profusely. And He also says, in all of this then, we can bless others, which also results in thanksgiving to God. So according to this passage, to show our thankfulness to God on Thanksgiving and every day, we need to be generous people. We need to be generous people. And that results in praise to God. And what does God desire from us? Praise and worship. That's what He wants. Matter of fact, in living this out, it turns our lives into a whole exercise of worship. Everything becomes worship. Now look at verses 12 and 13 with me. This service that you perform, Paul writing, is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in what? In many expressions of thanks to God. It always comes back to thanking God, seeing God as the provider. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and of everyone else. I was really intrigued by this passage and kind of from a different angle than I'd studied it before. God gets all the thanks. He gets all the praise. And then that beautiful concluding verse, why do all this? Why? And that's made so clear in verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. It all goes back to Jesus, the greatest gift ever. The indescribable gift, Jesus, the Son of God, without Him, and sometimes we sing that, without Him, how lost I would be. Sometimes when you hear all this, it's like, sure, that all sounds good if your life is going good. If it's all holding together and you're doing really well, but what about if I'm struggling? What if my life has fallen apart around me? What if I feel like things are crumbling? How does this speak to me? And this still speaks in the hardship and the pain of life. We still thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who says, I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'm going to give you a firm foundation to stand on. You're never going to be alone. I love you more than you can measure or imagine. I will hold on to you tightly. And I'll walk the journey with you. This is truth. Whether life is, whether we feel we're on a mountaintop or when we're in a valley, the truth of who God is doesn't change. None of this would work without Jesus. That's why that last verse is so important. So we are thankful people first and foremost because of Jesus, the Son of God. And all our other thanks is really secondary to that gift. Therefore, in Him, every day is Thanksgiving Day. So make sure He's at your Thanksgiving celebration. Let's pray together. How good it is to come into your presence, Heavenly Father, and express our gratitude. Truly, you are deserving of it every moment of every day. Without you, we are nothing. In thanking you, it's hard to know where to begin. So we begin by thanking you for the gift of life itself. To think that you created us in your image. That we are your crowning glory. We can't even really comprehend what that means. And then we thank you for the redemption that is ours in your Son, Jesus Christ. The indescribable gift, our Savior. We thank you that you give us our lives purpose and meaning and hope that goes beyond what we can see and experience and stretches into eternity. Thank you for giving us all we need to be your children, sons and daughters of your family, and that we're allowed to call you Father. And then we're also grateful for our earthly families, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, grandparents, extended family and friends. We thank you for relationships, and we also know that relationships can be extremely hard. And sometimes in the holiday season, that becomes more poignant yet than the rest of the year. We just pray for special grace for all, where relationships and coming together as family are not being able to come together. Makes this also a painful time. We're thankful for our homes and all the conveniences we live with, for our jobs and the other ways you provide for us, and that each day you give us our daily bread. So we praise you for skills and gifts that you've blessed us with. Barbers and bankers, construction people, tool and die people, farmers, nurses, teachers, policemen, firefighters, doctors and nurses, EMTs, homemakers, retired folks and volunteers, and all kinds of other forms of employment. We thank you for public schools and Christian schools and the ability to go and to learn. We celebrate this nation that you let us live in all of our abundance. And we especially thank you for the freedom to worship you freely. And we do continue to pray that you would have mercy on our land. We're thankful for all who are willing to serve in the government, from the White House to the township boards. And we're also grateful for our servicemen and women, and we pray for those who are away from home and those who are at home waiting for them to return. Thank you for strength for the journey when life is hard and we say goodbye to loved ones. When we deal with health limitations that change our routines, thank you for all the medical benefits that we live with. When we think of all the chaos in this world with wars and severe weather and fires and refugee camps, we can only humbly bow before you and acknowledge you have dealt very kindly with us. Never let us take that for granted. May we never think we earned all of our blessings. Keep us humble and thankful. Thank you for another year of harvest so that there will be plenty to eat. You deal so abundantly in this land and the agricultural sphere, and how many people around the globe you let us feed through your benevolence. We thank you for our houses of worship. May we always be a beacon and a lighthouse where you've placed us, and may we stay faithful to the word. And even this night, would your blessing rest upon the word that you shared with us out of 2 Corinthians. Father, thank you for all of our prayers that you have answered just like we asked. Thank you for your strength for those times when you answered them according to your will, not ours, but walked with us. Thank you that you are a God who hears and answers prayer, loves us more than we can imagine, and promises to never forsake us because you are strong and you are loving. And we offer this prayer in the powerful, sweet name of Jesus, that indescribable gift. Amen.